Welcome to Rust Belt Running. I am Andrew Hettinger. Joining me shortly with a coaching tip is going to be Adam Wheeler. I'm really excited. This week, we'll be reviewing the Detroit Free Press Marathon with Marissa Ward of Cleveland Racing. Marissa took part in Detroit Free in October and was kind enough to come on, give us a review, and a few tips for the race. This was a conversation I really enjoyed, as I often do. The Freak Marathon is held in October in Detroit, Michigan. There's roughly 13,000 runners who participate in the various races that make up the Detroit Freak Marathon. Last year, the weather on October 15th was a high of 52 and a low of 47, 48 at the start. 80% humidity, so a little humid, but not terrible. The averages for the last 14 years is a high of 59 and a low of 43 degrees Fahrenheit, with a humidity at 77%, and winds are usually pretty calm as well. So just a few things to think about as you listen to this and, maybe make a decision on running the Detroit Free Marathon. Before I throw it to Adam with a coaching tip, I do want to ask, is there a race you'd like us to review or a race you're curious about and you'd like some more information on? You can drop us a line. Our DMs on Instagram are always open, and you can find us there at Rust Belt Running. You can also email us at rustbeltrunning@gmail.com or go to our website. There you can ask us questions about things. You can sign up for run coaching. You can view our merch. You can just exit out of the window, and that's fine too. So we strive to keep our podcast content free without paywalls or ads, and we need your support to do that. We appreciate all your listens, shares, and reviews as part of that support as well. So enough of all that. Let's go to Adam with a Rust Belt Running coaching tip of the week.
Here's a training tip from us here at Rust Belt Running. Continuing with what we've been discussing this month, this first month of the year, January, talking about incorporating new behaviors, incorporating behavior change into your running routine. One of the things I want to talk about today is the idea of not breaking the chain. And what do I mean by this? There's a famous story about Jerry Seinfeld, and that one of his practices as a comedian is to make sure that he writes at least one joke every day. And when he writes his joke, he goes to a calendar and he puts an X through that date. And his goal as a comedian is to make sure that he never, ever goes a day without doing the work he would need to do to put an X on that day on the calendar. And essentially what he does is he creates a chain of X's. And the idea behind that is that if he's committed to making sure that he keeps that chain moving forward, he'll always be putting in the work. He'll always be making sure that he's committing time to putting into that work as a comedian. So what does that mean for you if you're trying to incorporate a new behavior? Well, number one, you have to figure out what the time scale is gonna be for that new behavior. I've been using strength training as the example for behavior change in how you might incorporate consistent strength training into your routine. It's unlikely you're going to be strength training every day, but maybe your goal is to go out and strength train twice a week, every week. And so what you would be looking to do then is have somewhere that you can write out the dates for each week of the year, and then you'd be looking to put an X every single time that you strength train twice a week. So, you know, the first week of the year, January 1st through January 7th, did you strength train twice a week? Yes, absolutely. Okay, put an X through that. And then the next week, January 8th through January 14th, did you strength train twice a week? Well, it's really hard to put those two together. But if you did, put an X through that. Now, what happens if you go and there is a day or a week where you're not able to get in that new behavior? Then you're going to break the chain. And the goal is to not break the chain, but we've also talked about how we want to make sure that we're being gracious with ourselves and recognizing that sometimes life gets in the way. And so if the chain does get broken, maybe you get into February and you've made some good progress, and then 1 week you get sick or work has a project that you got to deal with, the kids get sick, whatever it might be, you don't get in your strength training twice a week that week. Well, the chain gets broken. But really what we want to remember here is the goal isn't perfection, it's persistence. And it's true that we have to be gracious with ourselves, we have to understand that we're not robots, and sometimes we're simply not going to be able to hold ourselves to the standard that we've set. And that's okay. But then what we also want to make sure is to recognize that we are still accountable for ourselves. And so when it comes to this idea of not breaking the chain, the immediate goal then is going to be to make sure that we don't go 2 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, with the chain being broken. So if you have a week where you've missed your strength training sessions twice that week, it's okay. It's all right. You know, take a deep breath, get past that, Don't have any critical self-judgment about it. But the next week, get right back up on that horse. Try to get that strength training in twice a week. Start a new chain and then keep that chain going. And if you can find that you are getting that chain going more often than not, that's going to be good, positive progress in incorporating those new behavior changes into your running and seeing the progress that you want to see in your training.
Thank you so much for listening today. And before we get started, this is a reminder to like, subscribe, and review us on your favorite podcast platforms. One of the easiest ways to support the show and what we do. If you're looking for other ways to support us, head to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can learn more about our offerings in run coaching, shop for merch, things like that. Any way you choose to support us, we are absolutely most grateful for. All right, now that that's out of the way, joining me is Marissa Ward from Maumee, Ohio. That's in the Toledo area. You took a short trip up 75 to Detroit back in October to run with about 13,000 other people. You took on the full at the Detroit Freak Marathon. But I appreciate you joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm excited to talk about this race because I've long wanted to do it. Its only drawback for me is it's always the same day as Columbus, and Columbus yeah. holds a very dear place in my heart. But besides the short drive up 75, why did you choose Freep?
So actually, when I was debating a fall marathon last year, I was between Columbus and Detroit, and with them being the same day, I had to pick one. Detroit was a little bit closer, so that helped in the decision. And I wanted a race that I could compete in, which, looking at past results, I knew that both of them I would be able to be somewhere towards the top, but Detroit felt like I would fit in a little bit better. So ultimately I went with Detroit. I ran the half in Columbus before and I really enjoyed that. So Detroit being a new race was also something that I factored into that.
Okay, cool. Where did you stay? Obviously, I'm assuming you drove to Detroit.
Yeah.
Where did you stay in Detroit?
We stayed at the Wyndham. It was super convenient. It was across the street from the convention center where the expo was.
Okay.
I kind of poorly planned it out, and I booked that hotel 3 days before the race. We were originally gonna stay like at these lofts a couple blocks away from the start, and then I got to looking and I found a room right there. It's like, yeah, this is only like $50 more, it's closer, so we'll go with this.
I will always try to find a way to improve a trip. Even when things are completely booked, I'm still looking at ways to change it. Is that what happened here?
Pretty much. Because when I booked the original hotel, I was like, okay, this will work, but I'm going to keep watching it and see what other options there are. And so that's how it played out.
So you mentioned you were close to the expo. Take me through some of the expo experience. That's kind of a big deal. And, you know, definitely wrapped into this is in the check-in process. You know, you're going to have a little different one with Freep than you will with other races. Can you explain what I mean by that?
So with Detroit being international for the marathon, they do have a U.S. only half, but they have the international half as well. So you have to have your passport or your passport card to pick up your bib. It was super easy, and it actually went much quicker than I expected. It was essentially no different than going to a race and just, like, handing them your license. They just I don't really know what they did with the passport. They just looked it over, printed the bib, and I was on my way. So that was quick and painless.
Was there any information you remember maybe putting in at registration that maybe they were just confirming something matched?
I didn't have to put in any information from my passport. They do ask, they give you a couple different options. So there might be information you put from the passport, but if you have an enhanced driver's license, they'll ask you for like the driver's license number, I think maybe the expiration of it. So I did have to put that in, and they were probably just matching that back to each other.
Okay. Yeah, so if you're, listening about FREEP for the first time, it actually crosses into Canada from Detroit, which is makes it super unique. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the only marathon in the two countries that does that, where you're actually crossing the border.
Yeah, it's the only one that I know of. I'm pretty sure they advertise it as the largest international race in North America. So I don't know of any others.
I'm gonna do research on Buffalo. I wonder if Buffalo does, but that would be the only other one I could
Like a
think of
Niagara
that
Falls
would. But
race.
I feel like this still holds that distinction. But all right, so you checked in and you're at the expo. Is this the experience for this? Is this like a big city expo with tons of vendors? Is this a, kind of scaled back event? Kind of take us through the expo experience.
I would say it was probably moderate sized, 40 to 50 vendors maybe. Thinking of like local races, it did feel bigger than like Toledo or Cleveland would be. But you have like your typical like here's some off running apparel, here's your discounted shoes, here's all your nutrition, here's a couple races that we want you to sign up for. And then there were like local Detroit groups that were there advertising their stuff as well. So I feel like it's pretty typical of like these races. They put their bid pickup at the back of the convention center to make you walk through everything. So that was the same setup. You had to go to the back to get your bib, and then the they gave you everything right there. Like you didn't have to go anywhere else to get your shirt. And then the first section when you came out from getting your bib was like the official Detroit Marathon apparel, which they had some really nice stuff. I personally didn't end up buying anything just because it's more than what I need. But they I think it was New Balance. So it was really nice.
How was the stuff we all get, the swag, the free swag you got for the race? How was that?
The shirt I really like. I probably wear it once a week, honestly. It's a dry fit material. I believe it's men and women's cut. So it's a long sleeve shirt, so that's nice. And then they had a buff in there, which has been nice for these colder runs. And then just other little random things. But like I said, the shirt, it's one of my favorite ones.
Any race where you're actually wearing the shirt afterwards, I think that's a win because half of them I just throw in a drawer now until they hit a donate bag.
Yeah, till the drawer's overflowing and you can't open it anymore.
Right. And you're like, I don't wear half of these anyways.
Yeah.
So we'll fast forward to race morning here. You leave the Wyndham hotel. Well, was there any transportation you took to the race, or were you just able to head there on foot?
I was able to walk there. So, like I said, it was across from the convention center. So, there were people in there in the morning staying warm. I don't know if gear check was in there. I didn't do any gear check.
Okay.
But as I was walking past, like you could just see everybody in there gathering. The hotel, I think, was maybe 3 blocks from the start. So, I headed out probably about a little after 6, maybe 6:15, and the race started at 7. I got down there no later than 6:30 and just kind of
Nice.
hung out in front of a parking garage.
And you felt like that was plenty of time.
Yeah, it was. I mean, once I got down there, I sat down, I had like another snack or something, and then I went to find a porta potty. And once I was down there, I went right into the corrals.
How were the porta potties? Where did you feel like there were enough at the start?
I definitely felt like there could have been more. I don't know if I was missing like a mass of them somewhere, but it seemed like there'd be like two in one spot, two over here, and just kind of like pairs of them randomly throughout. So definitely not anything where there's like a mass of porta potties and everybody's just lining up waiting.
Right.
So the one that I was in line for, there was a point where I was actually considering not going. I felt like it was more like a nervous pee than anything. So I did end up waiting, and then I felt like I was pushing it close on time, but I was able to jog over to the start line and get where I needed to be on time.
How was how at the start, how were the corrals set up? Were there corrals or was it kind of a free for all?
There are corrals. I don't know if they're ABC 1 2 3. I don't remember that much. But they do have them roped off. So at least to get into like the front corrals, you did have to show your bib to get in.
Oh, that's so much preferred. Did that help the congestion at the beginning? You're going to be further
Yeah.
towards the front, but that helped the congestion.
Yeah. It was really nice. There were definitely people that were trying to just free for all and go wherever. But once I got in, the corral itself didn't seem super crowded, so I could get right where I wanted to be. I never felt like I was like fighting for a spot or anything. And then I could just toss the throwaway clothes onto the fence, and then before I knew it, it was time to go.
It was time to go. Did what now that we're on the course, and how long did the congestion take to kind of break up for you there at the beginning?
I would say like, so I did start like maybe two rows back from the front line. I would say within the first mile, I found myself in a good spot. I wasn't like fighting for a spot on the road at that point anymore. There was definitely still big groups of people, but it was comfortable.
It's downtown. Was it like, were there lots of twists and turns and stuff downtown? Were there any like barriers? Like I know something like Pittsburgh, for instance, there's a median at one point you have to run over. Anything like that to be aware of in the beginning stretches downtown?
The beginning, no, it was pretty much like a straight shot to like where the Ambassador Bridge is. So I mean, like, it felt like there was a lot of suspense just getting to the bridge because, like, you get to a point, I think it's like 2 or 3 miles in where the bridge is. So, like, you get to a point where you can see it, and it's like, okay, here we go. We're gonna go up it. But you go like past it, and then, like, you do a loop around, like, how they have the ramps to get up. And so, like, it was still dark out, and they had like some flares on the ground, and the bridge is open for one lane of cars. So you also see cars lined up wanting to go across the bridge, and it's just really suspenseful and really cool.
What was that like? Like when you find, because the Ambassador Bridge, that's the one that takes you to Canada, correct?
Yes.
So like the suspense, was that just like, oh, this we're going to do something, like was there just a thought, were you scared of the bridge because of the elevation, or were you excited because of the thought of running into another country during a race is just really freaking dope?
Yeah. So I think I was completely oblivious to the fact that like we were running over a bridge and bridges are hidden hills. Like I knew that we did that in the course, but getting there, I was like, this is really cool. Like Canada's over there. But I will say that it feels really long going up it. Like you're just kind of looking over, you see all the water and everything, and it's neat, but it's like, okay, when is this hill going to end?
Oh, bridges will do that. I hate it so
Yeah.
much.
And it's also like watching all of the hand wheelers go up. Like, I mean, they're just barely moving. But then on the other side of it's also kind of scary because you're running along and then here they come flying down the bridge.
So you crossed into Canada on the Ambassador Bridge. Don't you take a tunnel the other way, like coming back into the States?
You Am I do, correct and on that? Yeah, that's something else that I was completely oblivious about. Like, I knew you had to come back, but I think it was like the week of the race that I realized it was through the tunnel. So clearly, like, mentally, for as far as the course goes, I'm just really underprepared for this. So the tunnel, I think, is somewhere shortly after 7 that you go into it. And that was different. It's much warmer in there, and it does go downhill at first as you go into it, but then again, coming out of it feels like a long climb. And as you're in there, your GPS is kind of spotty, so it's like, okay, are my legs tired? Is my GPS just completely wrong here? Right. But I definitely did slow down coming out of that tunnel.
So it's the opposite of a bridge, essentially.
Yeah, you get to do the down first, and then you have to come up.
That's so weird. That would be such a weird experience. How long is the tunnel?
It's less than a mile, maybe 3/4 of a mile.
Okay. But you're still in there for, you know, like,
yeah,
solid 4 minutes minimum.
Right.
For most people running. Yeah, that's insane. That's fun.
It's unique.
How were the, was there anything else with the Canada aspect, like, since we're kind of touching on that right now, that you thought was cool or unique? Because you're not in there for very long, are you?
It's 3 or 4 miles that you're over there. There were a lot of people cheering out there. Like, honestly, maybe more than I expected as far as crowds go. So that was neat.
Yeah.
Once we were over there, I had heard people cheering my name. I was like, who do I know in Canada? And then that's when it hit me that my name was on my bib. So I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. So.
Well, and they're Canadians. They're so polite. So, of course,
that's
what they're
gonna...
Yeah.
So that was neat.
Was there any issues with the, you brought up flares earlier, any issues with markings on the course? Were you pretty confident the entire way through this course that you knew where you were going?
Yeah, I thought it was marked really well. Obviously once the half and the full splits off, it always gets a little more sparse as far as people go. But even after that, mm-hmm. like I didn't have any concerns that I was going off course. I thought it was marked really well.
Good. The crowd support in Canada was good. We crossed back into Detroit. What was the crowd support like back in Michigan?
It was also really good in Michigan. So when you come off the bridge, you do go past the convention center again. And so also our hotel was right there, which made it really easy for Austin to bring the baby down. And so that was between 8 and 9 miles. And that was the first time that I got to see them on the course, but it made it really easy for them to just literally walk out of the hotel and wait for me to come by. So that was like the first main like cheering section, but there were definitely people like welcoming you back to Detroit, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And then even throughout, like, I felt like there was decent crowds.
Good. Water stops. How plentiful were the water stops on the course, and how well manned were they, and was there any like issues with elbowing people or spots like that?
I think the volunteer groups out there were awesome as far as handing cups out. I think the stops were every 1 to 2 miles, so there were plenty. And the other thing that I really like is that they were on both sides of the road, so you never had to fight to get over to one side and hope that you could squeeze in somewhere between people. And they were long enough, too, that someone could jump in front of you, and there's still people there waiting to hand you a cup.
That's what I like to hear. I don't hear that all the time. I don't know why races. I'm sure there's logistical reasons, but they should always have water on both sides because, man, especially when you're up front and you're trying to run, you're trying not to slow down. It is really difficult when it's not on both sides. It just takes one person to mess it up.
When I ran Berlin, they only had them on one side of the course, which was weird, I thought, for such a big race. But then it always seemed like I was on the wrong side of the road. So that was an interesting
Oh,
day.
yeah, that would be terrible. Like, I mean, when I ran Chicago, and I know Austin loves Chicago and he's run that numerous times. I mean, you can, I never, that was the easiest water stops ever. And that race had 46,000 people this year, and I never felt like I had a any issue at water stops.
Good.
It really is, there is an art form to it. No two
There
races are alike. When it comes to water stops. So, I was gonna ask if there's anything unique about this race. Obviously, we have the Canada aspect. Is there anything else that was unique during your 26.2 miles that you'd like to point out?
So I do think that like the Canada aspect is like the big highlight. And it's early in the race, so it's really suspenseful in the beginning, like, oh, I get to go to Canada, I get to cross the bridge, I get to be over there, I get to come back through the tunnel. After that, it's still a really good race, like it's cool, but there's nothing, I mean, I don't feel like there's anything that can top that part of the race. Because then it's like, oh, I'm just back in Detroit.
That's so cool that I'm gonna have to get up there just for that. So we're in Detroit. You've run most of the race here. I want to talk about the last 385 yards. What's it like as you turn towards the finish? What was the feeling like? And then what was the organization like once you crossed the finish line?
Okay, yeah, so there's like two turns before you get to the last one. And you're like back in downtown, like the heart of it. And as you're getting closer, like it's exciting. You see mile 26, and then you have one final right turn. And just leading up to that, there's fences lined with people, and it's loud, it's exciting. As I was running, I knew that there was another woman that was close behind me. So I kind of blacked out a little bit. I just knew that I needed to go as fast as I could. Somehow, in all of that, I did see Austin and the baby. They were standing on the side. So that was really exciting for like the last 50 meters to just let it go. And they do have it split, so the half finishes on one side and the full's on the other. And it's just really exciting. So you cross the finish line, they have like the typical pictures, and then you get your medal, and they've got the heat sheets and all the snacks. Overall, it was really organized, and they did have enough space where like you didn't have to like rush through.
Did you win?
I got second place
Second.
by like
I as
7 seconds.
So you've brought up the baby a couple of times, and I'm gonna ask just for people who may not know Marissa Ward. How far how many months post-pregnancy were you at this point?
This was about 13 months. He just turned one in September, so this was a month later.
That's amazing.
Thank
That
you.
really is amazing. Yeah, that's nuts. What was your time?
253.
Okay. That's smoking fast. Absolutely smoking fast. And to do that 13 months, that's just incredible.
Thank you.
Back to what we're doing, reviewing this race. How was the medal? When you got the medal, like, was that worth it?
So
Do you?
I have it right here. It is
Oh, nice.
hefty, like this is thick.
Yeah.
So it was like one of those times where they put it on your neck and like you just kind of like fall because it's heavy. Like you just ran a marathon and they put like this 10-pound weight on you, basically. Obviously, it's not that heavy, but how it feels at the end of a race.
Right.
So yeah, it's a nice medal. I do really like it.
Yeah, no, that's sweet. Like that. So this race is a little more expensive because of like the international aspect, but I mean, it looks like you really do get it. That medal's dope. Like
Yeah,
you
it's
get your.
there's your money right there.
Yeah, no kidding. That's awesome. Anything else about the finish? Like, was there they have anything special like PR bells or, you know, live music, free beer, things like that that you want to highlight?
So they do have like a post-race celebration area. We didn't actually make it there, but I know they have like I think they had a stage and like music and everything going on. We were just more looking for food and somewhere to sit down. But right
Yeah.
after the finish, they like once you leave the finish area, there is a meetup spot. So it was really easy for me to find Austin. And then, like I said, we were maybe three blocks from the start where our hotel was. And the finish, we were like three blocks from the hotel the other way. So everything was really central with where we stayed and made it easy to get back.
That's awesome. This sounds like a great event to be at. So we're gonna wrap up here in a minute, but I want to ask two things that really stuck out to you from this race, whether it's the race itself or just, you know, your experience running 26.2 miles through Detroit and Canada.
So obviously we touched on this a lot, but running across the bridge. I don't know if there's anything like more unique than that. But I feel like that probably is a huge selling point for this race. It's actually I have a passport, but it's actually only the second time that I've used it, and I've only used my passport to run races. So it just felt right.
Berlin.
Yeah. So I would say that would be number one. And then number two, it's personal, but just being able to get back out there after having my son and being able to compete in the race and coming home with second place was really awesome. I felt like the course is it's a very fast course. There are a decent amount of turns, but I don't feel like they're like tight turns that slow you down and cost you a lot of time. And there's the bridge and the tunnel, but they're early enough on that you're not suffering from it for long. Like I feel like once you can get
Right.
past those, then you're able to fall back into a rhythm and keep pushing forward.
Would you do this race again?
So I'm not someone that repeats many races because I've had a goal to
Okay.
run a race in all 50 states. So I've done Boston and Chicago twice and then Toledo and Cleveland. And when I signed up for Detroit initially, I wasn't like really excited about it because I already ran a race in Michigan. I was like, oh, it's just another race. Like it won't mean much to me. But I really enjoyed it, and on January 1st, when registration opened, I went ahead and signed up for it. So
There we
this
go.
I went from like last year, I was like, I really was not excited for it. It was just another race for me. I remember like in September, I signed up for Boston. I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait. I'm so excited. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm
Yeah.
running this in a month. But then, as race day got closer, I did start to get excited. And then, following the race, I was like, I want to do this again. Like, now that I know
Yeah.
what the course is about, It feels like it has more meaning to me, and I think I could improve from what I ran this past year.
Well, there we go. That's what I like to hear. So that's
Yeah.
awesome. Well, I wish you the I wish you the best of everything as you train for that and get yourself ready to hopefully get a little one spot higher on the leaderboard this time.
That would be a fun goal to have.
But it all depends on the field that shows up that day too. So
Right,
when you're right on that cusp, sometimes you hope for that registration luck to go in your favor. I feel that way with a couple local 5Ks. I'm like, man, as long as they don't have that one
Maybe it'll be
ringer, I
your
might be able
day. Yeah,
to.
I know that feeling.
In closing, do you have any final tip for anybody that is thinking about running free?
I would say if you're considering it, just do it. You like there's I don't think you would regret it. It's an awesome race. Detroit can be an iffy city, but the course was awesome. There's plenty of water stops. The support is there. The only downside to the course that I didn't like was in the late miles, maybe like 18 to 21, 22, you're kind of running through like residential area and there's speed bumps on the road, which some of them are split so
Not
you
ideal.
can run in the middle of the road and not have to run over them, but some of them you're just kind of stuck running over them. And obviously they're
Right.
so small, but at that point your legs are already like jello-y. So it's just an inconvenience more than anything.
Right.
But besides that, there was nothing about the course that I didn't like.
Well, there's no reason to not run free. So, awesome. I like it. Well, Marissa, I thank you so much for joining me today, and I'm really grateful for your review of the Detroit Free Marathon and best of everything this year. So, to everybody, thank you so much for listening today. And just one more call to support us. Feel free to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms. Follow us on Instagram at Rust Belt Running and visit our website, rustbeltrunning.com, to learn of other ways to support the show. And you can be found on Instagram, Marissa. What's your Instagram handle?
Mine is Marissa W, so Marissa without the A and then W.
And you can go follow her journey along the Freak Marathon this year. If you are interested in talking about a race you've run recently, or if there's a race you'd like us to get a review of, please reach out to us on Instagram or email us at rustbeltrunning@gmail.com. Any way we can help you decide on a race in the future, we would love to help. So, friends, wish you the best in your running journeys. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, enjoy your miles, everybody.